This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bill Belichick is brought to you this morning by the Massachusetts General Cancer Center. Every day amazing. Also by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in the sexual health of men. You can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. And Bill is brought to you by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Good morning, Bill Belichick.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing Wiggy, great.
Courtney, how's it going?
Morning.
Morning. What about Wiggy?
He said Wiggy.
Oh, he did say Wiggy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bill, before we get to football, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Edelman is impersonating you again. He did it this time on Inside the NFL the other night. Have you seen his impression of you, and what grade would you give it?
Yeah, no, I missed it.
I mean, is there anybody who does a good Bill impression? I mean, with me, it's my kids. I mean, so is there anybody who does a good Bill Belichick impression?
Yeah, I don't know. I could certainly do one of him too. So.
Oh, I would. I'd like to hear that. You're not going to do it.
Yeah, he's got his own little annex. That's all right. We'll save that for another day.
All right. Well, you are now 22-6 when it comes to facing rookie quarterbacks. Bill, I wanted to ask you, what makes your defense so difficult when it comes to these rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, our players did a good job yesterday. We did a good job of covering, playing the ball, reading the quarterback. We got some pressure, so thought our defense played well. And anytime you can come up with the ball, four times like that on turnovers, that's, it's a great thing for a football team. So, some really, really good plays there. JC on the first interception on the tip, and AP on the awareness on the, on the boot pass that kind of looked like it was a little overthrown there on the over route. And, he saw the ball and made a great play on it. And, Devin and JC, took advantage of a couple opportunities. And like I said, overall, I thought we had decent pressure on the quarterback. So, ultimately, good team defense.
Bill, last week we talked about red zone. And this week, defensively, you guys did a good job in the red zone. Offensively, the struggles continued a little bit. What do you think are some of the things that might be leading to some of the red zone struggles?
Yeah, well, as down there, there's really a premium on good execution. So, offensively, you don't have a lot of space to work in, and the running game is tough because they have extra guys down there. The safeties are close in the line of scrimmage. The passing game, again, it's a level of high execution, and defensively, same thing. Every yard's important. Because there aren't very many of them, and you gotta really be on the receivers closely because they're short throws, and the quarterbacks are very accurate, and so everything just happens faster and gets done in a much tighter space. So we'll keep working on it. I thought we made some progress, but still definitely have a, you know, have some work to do, and just keep grinding through it every week.
Bill, a lot of people talking about Mac Jones helping that pile get into the end zone for Damian Harris. Also, his kind of, I don't know if you would call it a block, but somewhat on those lines. Some people saying don't do that. Some people crediting him as a coach. How do you make sure that your quarterback balances protecting himself while also trying to help out the team?
Yeah, well, again, you know, football is a game of decision making, you know, we have a lot of competitive players, and they're all trying to do things to help the team win. And so, again, we just have to make good decisions on those situations. But you know, being out in front of a reverse, that's kind of part of the play. And you know, I don't know how much help Damian needed on the run, but again, a Max competitive guy, you know, love to see him. See his competitive spirit come out. You know, they saw the same thing from Wilson on the interception, on Devin's interception. So, you know, those are guys that, you know, like to play football, and as long as the play's going on, there seems like they're a part of it. So it's really probably a good thing.
Bill, an area that you guys played really well and you talked about it was the effect of winning the turnover battle. You always talked about that's, you know, one of the most important things in the game. We saw it yesterday from your defense creating turnovers and a lot on tip balls. Kind of explain to people how much time goes into that in practice and drills that you work on. So now when you get in these situations in a game, you're able to just go out there and execute.
Yeah, well, yeah, really, anytime a defender can get his hands on the ball, it's a potential turnover situation. So whether that's, you know, punching it out from a runner or deflecting a pass or breaking up a pass at the reception point, you know, and anytime a defender touches the ball, that's a bad thing for the offense. So either you got to really take good care of it, or you got to, you know, not let them touch it too many times, or bad things are going to happen. So. Yeah, as you said, it's an emphasis point in practice. It's something that, you know, each player is trying to do. And when you have to have just that awareness of doing your job, which might be making the tackle, but also combining that with having a ball awareness of, you know, if you can make the tackle and punch the ball out, or if you make the tackle and then maybe the second or third guy that's coming in can get the ball out, then those are good fumble opportunities for the defense and big ball security situations for the offense. But certainly no turnovers was a, you know, big key for us winning yesterday, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Nick Folk setting a franchise record yesterday for you guys. For fans or anybody really that has never been on the sidelines of a football game, how impressive is that, that he's been able to make that many consecutive field goals?
Yeah, Nick's, you know, he's really been consistent, and he's certainly made a lot of big kicks for us in that stadium. Yesterday was a tough day to kick. It's probably the most wind that I've seen in that stadium. And you know, it's very, when I used to coach and played in Giants Stadium, it was always windy. It was a much lower stadium, and the wind really blew coming down the, you know, the Meadowlands area, and I'm sure the wind is still there, but you just don't feel it as much in the stadium now. And yesterday was a little bit different because it really kind of bounced around off the stadium, and it was a swirling wind, and I was standing there listening to the national anthem, you know, with Cam, our special teams coach, and the flags were blowing pretty strongly one way at the start of the anthem, and then they died and they were practically still. And then as soon as the anthem was over, they started blowing the other way as the guys were, you know, walking off the field. So that kind of gives you an idea of how quickly the wind was shifting and swirling down there. And so all that to say, you know, kicking conditions, which are normally pretty good in that stadium, were tough. But, you know, Nick really drilled him through and made a lot of big kicks for us. So, which he's done in the past, and he did that, of course, last year down there in the Monday night game for the winning point. So, He's been very, very consistent for us.
Well, where do you stand on some of these taunting calls? I think it was Mike Edwards yesterday. It looked like he was basically called for running backwards in the end zone. Are you standing in favor of that? I mean, I understand it's the rule. It's the way it's good. You don't have no say in it, but is some of it ridiculous?
I'm not sure what play you're talking about.
It was an interception.
In the Tampa Bay Atlanta game, the guy intercepted, and then as he's running in the end zone, he kind of turned around
basically. Yeah. He wasn't like pointing in the direction.
I didn't see the play, so I can't really comment on the play. But
in general,
I mean, I don't think there's really I don't think there's a place for taunting in the game. I think that's poor sportsmanship, and it leads to other things. It leads to retaliation, and then where do you draw the line? And so I think the whole idea of the rule is to kind of nip it in the bud and not let it get started. And I'm in favor of that. I think that, we should go out there and compete and try to play good football and win the game on the field. I don't think it's about taunting and poor sportsmanship. That's not really my idea of what good football is.
Bill, when you talk about ball security, the position on the field that has to be probably the smartest at that is the quarterback position. How do you get Mac Jones to balance being smart with the football, but then at maybe times in the game, maybe being a little bit more aggressive and taking some shots downfield? Is there a tough balance that you have to coach him as a quarterback to be able to do both of those, but doing them a smart idea of knowing that, hey, you can force the ball, but don't force it into a bad situation.
Right. Well, that's, that's really the kind of the key to, really that part of that position is the quarterback is making those decisions of what can I get it into and what can I get it into. But just in general, it doesn't really matter what position you play. If you touch the ball, then you're a critical part of the play, from the center to the quarterback to the exchange to the running back to the receivers to the snapper to the holder or the punter or the punt returner. Defensively, if we get possession of the ball, taking care of it after we get it so we don't give it back. So all those situations are critical, and we've all seen them, be game-changing plays one way or the other. So ball security is important for everybody that touches it, and it's as simple as that. So if you have it, then if you don't take good care of it, then it's probably that you're not going to get it too many times. Maybe we just can't afford to give the ball away. So for the quarterback, it's all about decision making. That's the position. That's what you sign up for when you play quarterback is to make decisions, and that involves the rush and the coverage and what throws you can make based on your skill and the way the defense presents itself on that particular play, which everyone's a little bit different, and then which ones you can't. So that's the position. It's decision making, it's accuracy, and without that, it's hard to play the quarterback.
Bill, I know last night you said you were going to enjoy this one for a little bit, but then turn the page. So when turning that page, how hard is it to prepare against a coach like Sean Payton?
Yeah, the Saints are one of the toughest teams in the league to prepare for. They do an awful lot. They're very good in the kicking game. They've been one of the top special teams units the last 3 years, and they're tough. They do everything well, and they have a lot of scheme to deal with, plus, a very explosive returner. Defensively, Dennis Allen also does a great job. He's very multiple, and they have a lot of good players, and they're tough to deal with. And offensively, Sean does a great job attacking defenses and, putting pressure on various points of your defensive scheme, depending on what you do. And they're very multiple. They have a huge volume of of calls and plays, and you don't really know what you're going to get because, you know, you've seen so much. And like I said, the playbook is so expansive that, you know, you have to, if you cut it down too small to deal with everything, then he's kind of got you where he wants you. And if you have too much in there, then, you know, they do a lot, and it's hard to match things up. And there's, you know, some bad situations you can put yourself in if you, you know, get overextended somewhere. And there's skill players between the quarterback, the running back, multiple tight ends or big receivers, whatever you want to call them, and then, you know, some fast skill players, and then the whole Hill package with the quarterback. They do more than any team in the league. They're very, very difficult to prepare for in all three phases. So there's no real playoff in the game. You better really go on everything, or they'll nail you.
Bill, Tom Brady said this week that he can see himself playing till he's 50. Can you see a guy playing that position at that age in the NFL?
Yeah, well, I'm sure Tom would know better than anybody. So if anybody could do it, it's probably him.
Bill, one of the things that we've kind of given Mac Jones a lot of credit for is his composure in the game, being real cerebral, never getting too high, never getting too low. Was that something you noticed from him in college right away when you drafted this guy? Was that something that you looked at and said, hey, this is what makes him a good quarterback and why we feel like he could play at this level because of that cerebral mentality?
Well, yeah, Mac's a smart player, and you know, he was a good decision maker in college. And I know, as I said, the keys to that position are, you know, accuracy and decision making. So, you know, he did a good job of that. But college is college, and it's, as you know, a whole different level of coverages and athletes, and you know, there's just not a lot of margin for error in the National Football League with the guys that, you know, we're playing against every week. So, you know, I think we've seen that with a lot of quarterbacks through many, many years, that success in college doesn't necessarily translate to success in the NFL. And so there's definitely a growth and a process, and, you know, you see players improve, you know, over their first 2-3 years in a league. You know, we saw it with Josh Allen at Buffalo. We saw it with, I would say, from what little I've seen, you know, Herbert in San Diego. You know, we saw it with Tom here. I mean, you see a lot of guys. And so that, you know, that, and then some guys it kind of doesn't happen for, and then somebody else comes along. So, you know, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to that position. And really, it's, to me, not so much about what he did or didn't do in the past. It's really about the growth and development of any young player as they get into the National Football League, because the challenges are just a lot different than they are in college, and certainly they're playing against, you know, way better players at every position, every week, every snap than, you know, what some of those guys in college face. So it is what it is, but this is a high level, and consistency is really the key to, you know, being a good NFL player, is going out there and doing it down after down, week after week. And a lot of players have talent to flash here and there, but the good ones show up and do it on a very, very consistent basis.
James White seems to be really clicking with Mac Jones. Have you been able to see that throughout practice? What's been the key to their relationship, both in games and during practice?
Well, I think every quarterback that plays with James White loves playing with James White. You know, he's a talented player that's very consistent and makes good decisions to help the quarterback. You know, he's the type of back that knows what to do, does the right thing, and the quarterback has a lot of confidence in him, kind of like Kevin Falk used to do for us. You know, whenever there was a decision to make, Troy Brown was another player like that. When there was something that happened, it was maybe not quite the way you drew it up, or the defender didn't play it quite the way you think he was going to play it. But those are the kind of players that just always did the right thing. They made the right adjustment. They recognized it and kind of thought like a quarterback. you know, Branch is another player like that as a receiver. And sometimes you just got to understand, you know, what the quarterback needs or what he's looking for and make a decision and make it decisively and then deliver it to him. And so guys like James White and some of the other ones I mentioned are outstanding at that. And that's part of what makes them such good players and such important players for a quarterback is to really, you know, not only make plays with the ball in their hands, which James is very good at, but all the decisions, and we see that in the running game, but in the passing game, he's just very good at, like I said, always doing the right thing, and each time it's a little bit different, but for the quarterback, you really want to, when you go to because that's usually your last option when you go to the running back. You're not going to go to the running back and then try to go downfield and find somebody else. So when you go to the running back, that's your last option, and he's got to be, you know, a dependable player that does the right thing, and then the quarterbacks will keep coming to him. But I think every quarterback would love playing with James White.
All right, Bill. Well, you know, we're going to let you get to work. Before you go, though, I did want to ask. We have Ty Law on this show every Tuesday, and he told us this week how he got his nickname from Mr. Kraft. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but it would be great if you could confirm or deny it, because it sounded like a stretch to me. But
I'm gonna leave that one to Ty and Robert. I'll just stick to coaching on that one. But yeah, Ty's one of the real instinctive players that's ever played this game, and boy, he made a lot of great plays for us. But, you know, when talking about defensive backs and instincts, he's a guy that no quarterback wanted to throw against because they just, you know, didn't want to gamble on him. And, boy, he made a lot of them pay. And one of the most physical corners that I've coached, too. One thing about Ty that I really respect is his ability to force a run and tackle. You know, he was a physical corner, not just in a passing game, but tackled well and forced the run well, and boy, you love to have that with a corner. You know, those guys that do it at his level are usually playing safety, you know, which is where he ended up playing later on in his career. But man, you didn't have to worry about the running game out there with him. So yeah, we'll give my best, and I'll let him I'll let him handle those nickname stories. I'm gonna stay out of that one.
Makes great vodka too.
I mean, sounded like hyperbole to me. I mean, I feel like he was stretching the truth. I just wanted to confirm or deny it. That's all.
No confirmation or denial coming from me. I'm out of this one.
Bill, come on. You have a good story I can ask him between the two of you.
But yeah, no, I mean, look, Ty and I had a good relationship. I go all the way back to when I was with him in 1996, when I coached the secondary. You know, Ty and Lawyer and, you know, Jimmy Hitchcock and Otis and Willie Clay and those guys. And that was a great group to coach. I really enjoyed them and really got to know Ty on a you know, much more intimate level as a position coach, you know, compared to being a head coach. You know, when you're with a guy for, you know, several hours a day in meetings and on a practice field, and it's one of the guys you're coaching, it's just, you know, it's different. And as I said, I already made my comments about Ty, but that's, you know, he was great to coach, and he was, you know, again, very instinctive player that had a lot of confidence and really was a good all-around football player. He couldn't just cover. He could play man, zone, force the run, tackle, and was tough with the ball in his hands when he turned it over. So, and he was great on punt returns too. And you talked to Troy Brown about some of the big punt returns that Troy had. And a big reason for those was because one of the gunners was getting wiped out, and so that's how they all get started. So, yeah, Ty's one of my favorite players and one of the players that I really, really respect. He had a little bit of his own way of doing things, but that was okay because he knew how to deliver and he was confident in doing it the way that he did it. And, you know, as long as the player's productive, then, you know, you give him that latitude. And, he was great. He's a tough guy to deal with out there on the corner.
All right, Bill. Well, have a great week, and we will talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Greg. Wiggy, Courtney, thank you. Have a
all
good
right.
day.
All right. There he is. There's the coach. We will be right back on a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.